minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the 13th episode of Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Matt Fralick. Alongside me, Janelle Mackey. Janelle, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't you recording in enemy territory right now in Minnesota?
Yes, that's correct. It's about 20 minutes north of the Twin Cities, so keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer, right?
Sure, I guess so. We're going to recap a little bit of family night. Some transactions had happened today. We'll get into those right away. Officially, Janelle put Jake Ryan on IR with his knee. Not really a surprise there. Another linebacker, CJ Johnson, put on IR. Released Ethan Cooper. He was an offensive guard. Do go out and sign a running back, which our episode, our first episode together, was about the running back position. We sign Akeem Judd. What do we know about Akeem Judd?
All I really could find is that last year he was an undrafted rookie, and he signed with the Titans, had some injuries, and then got released because of those injuries, ended up getting picked up by the Jets, again put on IR, and then was cut last May, or like this last May.
Exactly.
For injuries. So
exactly. That's all I'm seeing too.
About those injuries.
Anytime there's a positional player that's like an offensive guy, do what you just did. You know, you go on, you do some research. I was on his draft profile, and I don't even think he was invited to the combine out of the University of Mississippi. I found some highlights on YouTube. Akeem the Dream is his nickname, apparently, if that impresses anyone. So maybe just a body to bring into camp. Honestly, this is kind of far-fetched. I knew sometimes the Jets and the Patriots used to do this about 10 years ago. When someone would cut a player, they would sign that player on the following week to kind of get some inside information. We play the Titans on Thursday. Do we see him on the field on Thursday, do you think?
I don't see why not. Maybe he'll get a couple carries in. I mean, we don't want our starting running backs to get hurt, so maybe we'll see what he can do.
For sure.
And it's against his old team, so you never know. Maybe he'll know how to run against them. Maybe he'll know what to prove. It's hard to say, but yeah, he's a young guy that we really don't have much information on, so I feel like if we're going to sign him, we need to play him to find out.
Exactly. I know he's number 36. That's the next best thing I found from that.
Yeah, not much insight on him.
Absolutely not. Family night, previous episode, Andy Herman broke it down a little bit. We got to give you our take on it, though. David Bakhtiari, I would say, was the number one, twisting that ankle. Nothing too serious, thank goodness. Watching that video of him getting hurt, I didn't actually watch Family Night. I watch highlights after the fact. It could have been a lot worse from what I saw. So thankfully, it was just a small basketball twisted ankle is what he had came out today and said. It's going to get Kyle Murphy some more reps. Maybe that'll help us in the long term to have a guy that's actually, you know, we have a solid backup if Bakhtiari tweaks it again. Montrevious Adams had a fantastic Family Night. Jamon Moore, really, really good. I think those two guys are definitely made a case to make the 53. I think Montrevious Adams is a for sure. Jamon Moore, we'll talk about that a little bit later. The receiving core is just getting super, super congested with all these bodies that we drafted and that are emerging. And the one guy that I had noticed just from a couple things and everyone talking was Marquez Valdes-Scantling dropping a couple balls that Boyle had thrown to him. Just didn't look that great. I don't really play a lot into Family Night. I've gone to it before, Janelle. I get there, I'm super jacked, I'm like, oh, this is the first taste of Packers in like 6 months, and then it's just a dud for me. What was your takeaway from Family Night?
Aside from all the skills that go with Family Night, I think it's an important thing that needs to happen because it's the first time some of these players really get to play on Lambeau Field, all the rookies, all the people coming in. I think it just gives them a really good taste of what they'll be playing in front of all season. So aside from all the drills and how everything pans out, I think it's just a really important day that needs to happen for these players so that they can get a feel for what Lambeau's like.
That's a good point. Honestly, didn't even think about that. I'm thinking of as people evaluating talent going in and looking at, you know, the new players and who can, you know, fight for a second or third spot on the team. I don't really approach it from the player standpoint. It was that they need the reps under the lights and all the fans there. 65,000 fans.
Yeah, sold out, so.
Side note, I saw Ian Rapoport of NFL Network talking about how he was impressed by the, mind you, Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles that they filled out a practice with 40,000 people, and he got, I don't know if you saw this, roasted on Twitter. People were just, every single mention was like, yeah, the Packers do that every year. The Packers do that every year. The Packers did that 2 days ago. I thought it was just really funny.
Yeah, Packers and the community always blow everybody out of the water.
Practice today was the 9th practice of the year. Randall Cobb returning. Didn't take a lot of snaps, apparently, with the receivers. Kind of just out there going through the motions. Kentrell Bryce coming back. Again, weaning him back. Mike Daniels was out there. From pictures I saw, he was not in pads or didn't have shoulder pads on. So it looked like he's kind of just, you know, taking it easy. I know he had tweaked his leg last week. Kevin King was out with a shoulder injury, most notably not the one that he had surgery on over this offseason. So that's huge. But again, if you don't have one good shoulder and you have two bad shoulders, that's not really going to work. And then Jerry Alexander was out with a groin. Saw some things in practice. I mentioned Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Didn't look that great on Saturday night. Turns out he had a really good practice today. Beat Demetri Goodson on a couple plays. And Janelle, so far, you know, we've only had Jake Ryan get hurt. Thankfully, that's the, you know, that's, I mean, it's a huge injury. He's on IR. He tore his leg. That sucks. But I just try to get through this last couple weeks until the regular season starts. We have about 1 month until then. And anytime I hear anyone, like last week with Kentrell Bryce getting hurt or Mike Daniels, it makes me so nervous. I want to have these guys get their reps in because I know the NFL has mandated less contact, and then we rush these guys on the field for a preseason game or after a family night. Anything you want to add from practice or anything you've seen about these injuries?
I think you've touched base on most of the injuries, most of the big ones that I've at least heard of. I think, like you're saying, these injuries are a little scary so early on before we've even really gotten into preseason and then the regular season. Hearing about these injuries can kind of scare you a little bit because you don't want it to turn into a bigger injury later on. So hopefully these small injuries help them to pull back a little bit. Maybe they'll take some less reps. And a lot of these guys, like Daniels, Bakhtiari, Cobb, they're veterans. They know what they're doing. They really don't need to be out there straining themselves because we don't want something to snowball into the future and it turn into a bigger injury. I think with the veteran players, it's okay for them to pull back a little bit because they're smart. They know what they're doing. Like you said, Bakhtiari is arguably one of the best on the team. He needs to stay healthy, especially because we have struggled with that line and their injuries for so long.
Definitely. And I'm just looking back on my notes here. Kevin King, I don't want to get too far into this, but he came out of college with a bad shoulder. He went through training camp last year kind of banged up. Obviously, he hurt his shoulder in the year, and then it's this other shoulder again. He just seems like, you know, you look at this frame of his, and it's just, I don't know if this guy's going to hold up for a full season, and that kind of concerns me. I don't want to be pessimistic about him, but you would like to be able to see him get through, I mean, a training camp without an injury or, you know, something. It just kind of seems like he's just a little bit fragile out there. But I wanted to get talking a little bit about the receiving core. Jamon Moore had a good family night. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, not so much. Equanimeous St. Brown has been up and down through practice. But then we have this young man, Jake Kumerow, UW-Whitewater graduate, had played for the Cincinnati Bengals. I believe he actually was on the active roster once in his career so far. Once he was on the 53-man roster. A couple highlights I've seen Andy Herman was throwing out earlier in the year. I had no idea who this guy was. He's a big dude, like 6'3", 6'4", white kid from UW-Whitewater. Some of these interviews I've heard from Devontae Adams and more notably Aaron Rodgers last night. I saw it on the news. Aaron Rodgers loves this kid. What have you seen about Jake Kumerow, the pride of UW-Whitewater?
I honestly haven't heard too much just because he is kind of an under-the-radar player right now. But the way you're describing him, like the height and everything, it sounds like he could be the type of body we need out there, because obviously losing Jordy Nelson, we need someone to fill in his role as like a downfield blocker, big guy. So you never know, even if he's not out there catching passes, he could use his body type to work down the field.
Definitely.
And create extra yards for like Cobb or Adams or whoever.
For sure. And Rodgers, I don't know, I was watching the ABC affiliate here in Green Bay, WBAY, last night. Rodgers could not say enough good things about him. I believe it must have been after Saturday's family night practice, just talking about how he's doing everything right, puts the ball away. I mean, he could not say enough good things. And they asked him, they said, you know, you guys drafted these three other receivers. What do you think the future holds for Jake Kumerow? He says, well, right now, at this point, I'd want him on the field. I mean, he basically went out and said, you know, this is the guy, one of the guys I'd want out there. So I thought that was huge. I mean, Rodgers does say a lot of things about the talent and the personnel often. I don't think it really goes as far as he wants sometimes. It's kind of just him giving his opinion because he is very opinionated. Driving home, and I kept thinking about Kumerow. Is he really going to be on the rotation for receiver? Probably not, but I could see him filling a role, like you said, he's a big body, filling a role like a Jeff Janis. I could see him being a special teamer. I don't know if he's going to be a star like Jeff Janis was on special teams. I could maybe see Kumerow making his way into the field doing that. Eric Winston, former teammate of his, lineman for the Bengals, he had nothing but high praise to say. Aaron Nagler was tweeting about him today, saying the kid always came in, worked his tail off, big talent, and they should be thankful to have him in Green Bay. Let's get through the next couple days of practice. Let's get into a preseason game. I imagine it's going to be a lot of DeShone Kizer, Brett Hundley, Tim Boyle, and all the backups. I mean, Bakhtiari's not going to see the field. I'd be surprised if Cobb did. King probably won't. Jerry Alexander. So it's going to be, you know, first preseason game. It's always interesting just to finally have a kickoff, have an actual game. Any players that you're looking forward to see starting on Thursday?
I would definitely be interested to see Boyle at quarterback. I've heard a lot of really good things. If you listened to Andy yesterday, you heard him praise him a lot. He really liked what he saw.
Loved him, I would say. He was man-crushing.
He really talked him up. I really want to see how he looks in a game, because obviously we've seen how Hundley looks in a game. We've seen how Kizer can look in a game. We don't know how Boyle will look in a game. So I'd be really interested to see what he could do, because obviously Hundley didn't have a good season last year. It sounds like Kizer's been struggling a little bit in practice.
Big time.
Boyle is kind of the guy right now behind Aaron Rodgers. I'd like to see him in a game situation.
I hate to make comparisons to last year, but it's almost like when they had Taysom Hill last year, or Joe Callahan. Throw him out there, see what he can do, Callahan especially. Kizer, I'm surprised, has not done anything of substance this year in training camp or in family night. The Packers usually only keep two quarterbacks on the active roster. Who's going to fight for that second spot? One note to also make, everyone's been wondering where Mike Pettine will be when he's coaching this year. A lot of people thought he's one of those gritty guys that'd be on the sideline, 10 degrees out, yelling at dudes. Turns out he's going to pull the Dom Capers role and sit up in the box. Your thoughts on that, Janelle? Is that a big deal, little deal?
I think it's one of those things that might end up staying a little under the radar, and we're just going to see what happens throughout the season, how that role is taken on. And honestly, anything would be an improvement from last year in that sense.
I was just hoping Mike Pettine would just be on the sidelines and yanking dude's face mask and yelling and being screaming because he's an intense guy. Maybe his first year he wants to take a look from a bird's eye view.
You almost wish you had somebody down on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's scarier if your coach is yelling at you face-to-face. If you're messing up and your coach is up in a booth.
Exactly.
You don't really feel much blame or much coaching.
No.
If your coach actually isn't present.
And sometimes position coaches are there for that, constructive criticism or praise or, you know, certain assignments that they're trying to implement and maybe make an adjustment. But we'll see if that actually means anything down the road. Now, Janelle, we said family night was over this weekend. There was actually another big event that happened over the weekend as well, the second annual Mike McCarthy Olympics. What did we see from some of these quote-unquote athletes that the Packers have on their roster?
After watching the video, you can check it out at Packers.com. After watching this video, I think a lot of these guys really need to stick to football. A lot of them do not know how to hit a golf ball. One thing that I definitely noticed.
Marcus Porter, I watched that. He swung once. He overswings it. I'm like, okay, you know, just keep your head down, man. And he swings again, and I'm like, well, his head was down. And then he readjusts his knees, and I'm like, he sank lower into his stance. And he still missed it. It was ridiculous. I saw they had the dunk tank for the coaches. Actually,
yeah, excuse me,
the coordinators. Because Mike McCarthy said, that's what the coordinators are for, is being the dunk tank, which Mike McCarthy's, you know, humor is pretty dry. I saw someone, they're like almost lobbing it, like a beer pong shot, try to hit the dunk tank. Normally you just fire it like
you're
a baseball.
You're supposed to hit it like directly.
I don't know if
it's
it would.
Like you're trying to shoot a basket.
No, and what other events did you see out there? I can't remember the couple that I was watching.
I saw a little bit of basketball, some soccer. I saw at one point Rodgers was throwing at a target with his left hand. Which
I did see that.
Naturally, he did hit the target.
Of course.
So not surprised. But then I did see this. It was like a giant dartboard, and they were throwing like Velcro balls.
Yep.
So a lot of just really interesting events happening.
There was a couple where, again, on that one, guys were aiming very, very well on that. I mean, unless they just took some of the best video off that, but I don't know if other teams do this. It's the second annual one that Mike McCarthy's done, which is kind of surprising because he's been a coach there for how long? You would have thought this would have been an ongoing thing. I wonder if there was some reason he started doing this, if there was someone that told him about it. I mean, I'm trying to think if something weird would have happened before last year that made him come up with this idea. But, you know, I'm assuming you've played sports before, Janelle. Actually, I know you did because you hurt your leg in you hurt your leg in basketball and in intramurals. I've played sports as well. It's cool to interact with your teammates outside of the lines or outside of the locker room, outside of the meeting rooms. Awesome thing that McCarthy does. It looks like it was out at his house nonetheless.
Everybody looked like they were in like different team shirts. It looked like there were maybe like four different teams going on. But I think that you said you think that this would be something that's been happening a lot longer. It sounds like it's something that should continue because, like you said, we both played sports growing up, and we understand that sometimes you just need off the field bonding, a way to kind of hang out with your teammates, get to know your team without having to be on the field with coach directions and. This is just a fun way for them to kind of really become a team in the field.
Get to know one another and actually just, at the end of the day, just laugh at one another, swinging a golf club goofy or not be able to shoot a basketball or whatever it may be. I wonder who won. I was looking on Twitter, I was looking on Packers.com. I didn't see if there was a winner of that. I don't know if it's just a spirit award or what it may be, but I didn't see a winner.
Yeah, I didn't see much for stats or anything. Maybe there's a reason why, but...
Well, hopefully no injuries occurred from the second annual McCarthy Olympics. That would be a really incredible way to end someone's season or just bang them up. Maybe that's why Kevin King's shoulder's hurt from throwing towards the dunk tank or throwing towards the Velcro dartboard. Who knows?
The real injury was pride here. But if that's the only injury, I think we're going to be okay.
Once again, everyone, for myself, I am Matt Freilich. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_FRA. You can find Janelle on Twitter as well. Janelle, where they can find you on Twitter?
You can find me at BigMac_4.
If you guys want to follow along with the podcast, Twitter's the best place to get a hold of us. It's at PackADayPodcast. Find us on Google Play, iTunes, wherever else you may find your own podcast. Subscribe, please. We appreciate that.
I think Andy said you could even ask Alexa to play our podcast.
If you have an Alexa and you have that luxury, that'd be great. I wonder if Siri does the same thing. Send us a review as well on the podcast. We appreciate any feedback. Janelle and I got some feedback from some of the people we actually do these podcasts with, some fans that had listened to us, which is really, really cool. We appreciate anyone listening, any feedback.
If there's ever something you want to hear us talk about, you'll be able to listen to us Tuesdays, every other Tuesday. If you have any suggestions, things you want to hear, feedback, anything really, we're very open-minded.
And as always, Janelle,
go Pack, go.
Six seconds to go. Ball just outside the four. Rodgers shotgun looks to his right. Snap to A-Rod. Throws right side.
Yes!
Touchdown! And a dagger! The dagger to Andrew Polis on the right side! Aaron pointing to the right now. Gets the snap. Looking. Throws left side of the end zone. Leaping right at the back of Adams.
Yes!
Touchdown, Green Bay! A spectacular throw and catch to the left side of the end zone. Rodgers from the 42, New York. Fourth down and two. Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield. Scrambles right. Now winds up. Rainbows into the end zone. It is